The first reading is Corinthians 8, verses 1 to 13. Now concerning food sacrificed to idols, we know that all of us possess knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. Anyone who claims to know something does not yet have the necessary knowledge, but anyone who loves God is known by him. Hence, as to the eating of food offered to idols, we know that no idol in the world really exists, and that there is no God but one. Indeed, even though there may be so-called gods in heaven or on earth, as in fact there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is one God, the Father, from whom are all things and for whom we exist, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom are all things and through whom we exist. It is not everyone, however, who has this knowledge, since some have become so accustomed to idols until now, they still think of the food they eat as food offered to an idol, and their conscience, being weak, is defiled. Food will not bring us close to God. We are no worse off if we do not eat, and no better off if we do. But take care that this liberty of yours does not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak. For if others see you, who possess knowledge, eating in the temple of an idol, might they not, since their conscience is weak, be encouraged to the point of eating food sacrificed to idols? So by your knowledge, those weak believers for whom Christ died are destroyed. But when you thus sin against members of your family and wound their conscience when it is weak, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if food is a cause of their falling, I will never eat meat so that I may not cause one of them to fall. Now the gospel reading is Mark 1, verses 21 to 28, and it's page 33 of the Pew Bibles. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, he entered the synagogue and taught. They were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Just then there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, throwing him into convulsions and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all amazed, and they kept on asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." At once his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Lord, open our ears to hear your word, mouths to sing your praises. Amen. We have here what on one level is a story about who is Jesus and where is his authority. It starts out with the people going, "This is Jesus, and he teaches us and he convinces us without telling us all the other scholars. This is a new form of teaching. Where does that come from?" Then we have this disruptive presence, a person with an unclean spirit. Now, in Scripture, people with unclean spirits, well, firstly, they're people who can't fully participate in the life of a community. They're disruptive. But on the other hand, in those ancient societies, they were respected. They were thought through the unclean spirit they had in them to be an insight into the spiritual world. So this spirit goes, hey, I know who you are, for that audience. That's the good oil. That's the inside view of what's going on. You're the Holy One of God. And then Jesus casts out the demon. It's really interesting in these passages. We're called to reflect that when we see Jesus in action, we see both Jesus teaching with authority, but living with authority in a way that raises up. Can I have the next slide, please, Jim? Living in a way that brings others into fullness of life. Jesus is simultaneously authority and someone who liberates. Someone who brings others into fullness of life. Liberation is a wonderful thing, isn't it? Freedom is a wonderful thing. And it's actually interesting, I didn't even know it till I did my research this week, but this great anthem of my rebellious teenage years, or later teenage years, by the Soup Dragons is actually a Rolling Stones cover. Surprise, surprise. Because I'm free to do what I want any old time. And they added the words, I'm a new creation. We in the church will go, amen. I'm free to do what I want any old time. Don't be afraid of your freedom. I'm free to do what I want, to be what I want any old time. I said I'm free to be who I choose, to get my booze any old time. Got a bit wonky there at the end, didn't it? Are we free? When we are freed by Christ, are we freed into a world of anarchy? And of course, the answer is no. Because we are called as those witnesses. We are called as people who know God's transforming love and power in our lives and are drawn into that work to bring freedom and love into others and fullness of life. And that means we have to be careful. And that's what this passage in Corinthians is about. Now, meat and vegetables, we do have some vegetarians around, but they're still very much a minority. I enjoy my meat and vegetables. That's now becoming more vegetables than meat. But in the ancient world where life was considered to be so sacred, to get meat, you generally had to go and get it in a temple. And if you weren't welcome in the synagogue, you had to go to one of the other temples. And that's all right, because some of them had worked out. That doesn't matter, because that idol over there is just a rock that someone put some paint on. That's not real. These guys are worshipping something that has no basis whatsoever. So what if I eat food that's sacrificed to a rock? It doesn't affect my relationship with Jesus, so off I go. And Paul goes, very well, very good, I'll give you points for cleverness. But I won't give you a single point for how you're acting in love. Because you have people there who go and they're with their families. They're in a social event, which is they are former worshippers of that idol. And when they see someone else going, oh, it doesn't matter, I'll just have a steak. would probably be in those days a bit of the stew. They didn't eat an awful lot of meat, nothing like what we'd eat. They go, oh, we'll have it. And suddenly they were backsliding. They were going back to their old ways, their old superstitions. And Jesus goes, what good did your head, what good did your freedom do that other person? If your freedom's leading other people back into captivity, it's not freedom at all, is it? We are freed to be part of God's work in the world. So as we look at our structure and who we are and what we do, one of the most important questions is, where is our community? Where is our neighbourhood crying out for God's freedom? Where is God's heart? And where is the heart of this neighbourhood yearning for God? Then how do we put not just the resources we have, but who we are as communities, as individuals, as part of God's work? We are here, we believe, for a purpose. God has called us together. We are, believe it or not, God's chosen team. Look around you. We are who we are. How can we be those witnesses to God? How can we arrange our lives and use the freedom, use the resources, use our gifts in a way that makes that loving presence of God a reality for this neighbourhood and all of the Redlands in 2024? Pray we're up to the task, because that's what we're here for. Amen.